just launched a year-long fare-free pilot for RIPTA's R Line, our most frequently traveled route connecting Cranston, Providence, and Pawtucket. Passengers must pay full fare on all other RIPTA routes, including transfers. Funded by the General Assembly, this fare-free program is in effect through August 2023. For more information on this pilot program, please visit us online at ripta.com.
Bill Jacobson, who is not only an attorney, he's a law professor at Cornell Law School. He's also the guy who runs the Legal Insurrection Foundation. Maybe you've gone to his website, legalinsurrection.com. He's got a new venture that he's working on right now. And I wanted to have him on about this to actually talk about the legality of these things that pop up. So joining me on the line is Professor Jacobson. Professor, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, you're welcome. So talk to me. First off, let's do a little bit of a review as to where we are with this case that you talked about, that we talked about in the city of Providence, having to do with the loan forgiveness program for people of color. Where are you at with that? I think last time I checked, you sent a complaint. Remind us where you are with that. You sent a complaint into the Department of Education?
Yes. So the loan forgiveness program, as you've indicated, is for new hires in the Providence School District. So this is a government operated program. So let's make that very clear from the start. This is the government acting.
Right.
Providence
right.
School District, which of course is run by the state. So in a sense, it's the state of Rhode Island acting here, and they have developed a program which is funded by the Rhode Island Foundation, but is administered as part of the employment hiring practices of this state-run entity. And that provision provides that only people who are non-white can apply for the loan forgiveness. So if you're a new hire into the Providence system and you are non-white, you get an extra bonus. You get an extra incentive to come to Providence, which is up to $25,000 of your student loans will be paid off. That's a great incentive. But if you are designated as white, you can't apply for that. It's not available. So you have an employment practice by a governmental entity. Doesn't matter who's paying it, who's funding it, but it's administered as part of the employment practices of a governmental entity, which discriminates in benefits and hiring incentives based on race and ethnicity. And that's unlawful. At least it's our view that it's unlawful. Providence may think differently. I've never really actually heard them state their position on it, but presumably they don't like it. So we filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights. And the reason we did that is that Providence receives, I think it's about $200 million a year in federal funding. A lot of that comes from the Department of Education. We understood that there's a legal nuance here. Because these are teacher hiring rather than student activities, there's a question whether it falls under the Department of Education or the EEOC. We felt it was proper at the Department of Education. They reviewed it and they felt it was better at the EEOC. And so they made a formal referral to the EEOC. And that's where it is now. And that's where it will move forward, presumably. I don't know what the EEOC will do, but because it was an employment practice and allegedly discriminatory, the EEOC is looking into it. And that's where it is now. And how long that process takes, I don't know.
What's the adjudication of this look like? I mean, is this a situation where a judge comes down and says, or an agency with judicial powers comes down and says, you guys are doing this wrong, you can't do this? And then what do you think is the ultimate solution if your argument wins the day?
Well, I think the EEOC, the first thing they typically do, and I don't know what they'll do here, is they try to resolve it with the entity that's accused of the practice. They try to end the practice voluntarily rather than commencing a formal proceeding. But ultimately, the EEOC could commence a court case and could seek enforcement action against Providence. Of course, that could implicate Providence's receipt of federal funding, meaning Providence School District, if they are found to have engaged in unlawful hiring practices. So that's where it could ultimately end up. But I think the big question here is, why are they even doing this? Okay, where is the governor? I mean, this is a state agency running the Providence School District. Is this something the governor wants, discrimination on the basis of race for hiring benefits? Is this something the Attorney General? Where is the Attorney General? You know, there's only so much we can do as a private foundation. If there were a plaintiff, a teacher who wanted to come forward, perhaps that person could sue and go to court. But as a private foundation, all we can do is ask the apparatus in place to enforce the non-discrimination laws to do their job. And so far, it's been sent over to the EEOC. I presume they will take a fair look at it. But my question is, where is the governor and where is the Rhode Island Attorney General when open discrimination is taking place in the biggest school district in the state?
Conspiracy theories, paranormal, UFOs.
The Stargate Project. Its main goal was to locate individuals with psychic powers in order to use these individuals as spies. Now, once the CIA got control, they quickly canceled it and stated that the Stargate program was useless and did not produce any results. However,
theories of the third kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Well, I mean, this is the philosophy, right? I mean, the philosophy of this anti-racist nonsense that they, you know, I would imagine most people who are just, anytime this kind of conversation comes up, there are people out there that one of the worst things you can do is and they feel, you know, in the pit of their stomach, you start to call them a racist, and they're not very good at being bulletproof to that, right? They're afraid of that. And so anything that would even remotely offer them exposure on that front, they stay away from vehemently, especially if you're a public official, never mind a regular person. And so if you're a public official, a guy like the Attorney General, he's not going to be spending a lot of time and energy looking at something like this, because it's not, there's other fish to fry, I would imagine. But it's also part of the anti-racism thing. Like, you know, it's one of the main tenets of it, or at least one of the main advocates of it talks about how the prescription for past discrimination is present discrimination and future discrimination. It's built into the philosophy. So, you know, this is just what is due in their mind. And, you know, the law be damned, they'll try and skirt it. And I would imagine if the EEOC does come down and say, you're not doing this right, they'll do like they did with the event that they had a couple of weeks ago, where they had the affinity group teacher meetup. They had a registration form that just said, you know, you would identify yourself as either a person, as whatever type of person of color. You know, whites were not allowed to register, and then they changed it. And that's probably what they'll do. They'll change it and they'll go, oh, white people can actually go ahead and vote for this too, just to get around the issue. I mean, there's other ways to do this, right, Professor? I mean, we've talked about this in the past. There's other ways to do what it is that you're concerned about. What they're concerned about, to advocate for more people of color to become teachers outside of discriminating against non-people of color, right?
That's right. I mean, that's the outrageous thing about it. It does adopt, and unfortunately this has spread very far and wide, the philosophy of Ibram Kendi's How to Be an Anti-Racist, explicitly says that present discrimination is justified to remedy past discrimination, and future discrimination is justified to remedy current discrimination. So it's a philosophy that says discrimination on the basis of race is okay, as long as it's part of an anti-racist effort. But of course, you know, the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, that says every person is entitled to equal protection of the law, the Civil Rights Act, Rhode Island statutes, you know, never distinguish that, oh, it's okay to discriminate against one group but not another. So this is legally not a viable strategy to say, well, it's okay to, discriminate against whites because some years ago, some people who share a skin color did bad things. But what about the person actually applying for the job? What did that person do wrong other than be born with the wrong skin color?
The adoption of these ideas is so insane, because the ramifications, like, you know, being adopting, you know, a generational responsibility for people who you never met, never knew, wouldn't know if you walked into them, is so blatantly idiotic. It's hard to fathom. And then on top of that, how do you determine who's a person of color? How do you legally determine that? Self-identification? I mean, how do you determine that? What is the standard?
Well,
you know what I mean?
That's right. It's who.
Somebody sent me an article recently that talked about people of Portuguese descent were no longer considered to be white. And I know by Rhode Island law, when it comes to minority status businesses, Portuguese is one of the accepted minorities. Now, I'm a quarter Portuguese. Does that mean I can go get a minority? I'm as white as the day is long. Does that mean you can get the? I can go get some special compensation from the state if I had a business? I get more access to contracts and things. It's just idiotic.
Well, it's more than idiotic. It's so damaging to our society. What it is turning us into is essentially the equivalent of Yugoslavia, where you're going to have different ethnic groups, and in our case, racial groups, fighting it out with each other over goodies to be offered for an employment or jobs or other things. It's such a damaging strategy. It's basically forcing people not to identify as Rhode Islanders or as Americans, but forcing them to identify as part of an identity group. And of course, as we know from Elizabeth Warren, a lot of people will just fake it and check the Native American box. Okay. So it's a scam at every level, but it's a very damaging scam because it really rips at the fabric of our society to promote discrimination by the government.
Just launched a year-long fare-free pilot for Ripta's R-Line, our most frequently traveled route connecting Cranston, Providence, and Pawtucket. Passengers must pay full fare on all other Ripta routes, including transfers. Funded by the General Assembly, this fare-free program is in effect through August 2023. For more information on this pilot program, please visit us online at ripta.com.
And if you look into the political philosophical roots of this whole movement, it's kind of the purpose is to tear things apart and to make it so that things don't work. It's kind of baked into the philosophy, but it's very well packaged and very much plays on people's guilt. It actually plays in the best nature of people, because I think most people in general, any decent human being wants to make up for the past. You know, wants people to strive and to do well in the present, and feels bad about how things that happened in the past. And it's through that good nature and that guilt that they're manipulated on a regular basis to do things and to pay people, grifters in my mind, and just flimflam people. A lot of these DEI folks are just grifters. They're race grifters. I've been watching race grifters my entire life. Watch as they make money off the suffering of the quote unquote their own people, perpetuate the very things that keep their quote unquote their people in the circumstances that they bemoan. There's nothing more obvious than that than like gangster rappers. I've been listening to them my entire life, and they glorify horrible language, horrible lifestyles, violence, and sexuality, and everything else. And they can, which perpetuates the terrible things in their community, and then they make millions of dollars while they do it. I mean, it goes on for activist types, people that do the DEI nonsense, that you get paid $60,000 a corporate gig to do talks and trainings that don't do anything. There's no measurable positive outcome to their actual trainings or anything like that, and it just gets perpetuated. So now they've made their way, the actual critical race theory, which was a legal concept, is actually now making its way not only into law, but into science and medicine. It's like a mind virus, and it doesn't do what it says it does. And to the extent, now you've got a new initiative that you're working on that to help fight against this, called the Equal Protection Project. Tell people about that.
Yes, last week, Legal Insurrection Foundation, based in Barrington, Rhode Island, launched the Equal Protection Project. The website is equalprotect.org. That's equalprotect.org. And this really was an outgrowth in many ways of what we've seen in Providence, because Providence School District has multiple problems, not just the teacher loan forgiveness program and not just the segregated teacher meetings. There's other things we're looking into, and we said, it's one thing for us to document this, and we've been documenting these things for years, and we've been getting publicity about them, but now we need to be able to do more. So the Equal Protection Project will take action when we find these things. What that action looks like may be a lawsuit, but it may be short of a lawsuit. It might be like what we did with the segregated Providence teacher meetings. We wrote to the event venue and said, hey, we know you're not aware, but this is a segregated event. And you are bound by the Rhode Island public accommodations law. So it might just be letter writing, might be more publicity. Sometimes when people get publicity on bad things they're doing, they stop doing it. That doesn't seem to be the case with the Providence School District. But ultimately, if we have a sound basis to do it, we will seek legal remedy in the courts for clearly illegal discriminatory conduct. Of course, that requires us either to have standing as a foundation or have a plaintiff who has standing. So Equal Protection Project is our new initiative. We're going to stick with it. And we're national in our focus. But of course, Rhode Island, since we're here and we have our ear to the ground here, and a lot of people, teachers have been reaching out to us and giving us information, we know more what's going on here. So there'll be more to come in Rhode Island as part of this initiative.
We're talking to Professor Bill Jacobson from the Legal Insurrection Foundation, and this new venture is Equal Protection Project. He's a professor, law professor, and attorney. And we've talked about a couple of different things in the past. And, you know, this is important because I think every time you remind people, I think a lot of these people are doing this stuff with good intentions, especially like venues, places that hold events. They don't know any better. And they're thinking, okay, these are people who just want to do something nice for equality. And so what ends up happening is they do these things and then they're reminded. It's like a correction. No, you're supposed to be colorblind, right, when it comes to the law. I'm not asking you to be that in your personal life because you notice things about people, but the law is supposed to be colorblind. And I got to tell you, there's a downside to everything. Colorblind is way better than color obsessed. And that's where the racialized, you know, DEI, CRT world is heading. This color obsession. And like you said, this racialized world we live in, it's awful. And it's not, the proof is, you know, it's starting to come up more and more, but the way people think about each other and talk about each other, it's not a good thing. So Professor, we'll keep in touch and if cases pop up, let us know, because we're going to bring a light to this as much as possible.
Great. And if anyone's aware of these sort of bad practices in Rhode Island, you can come to equalprotect.org and we have a contact box. You can give us that information.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Professor William Jacobson. Appreciate it. Bill Jacobson from the Legal Insurrection Foundation. He's also a professor and director of securities law clinic, the Legal Securities Law Clinic at Cornell University.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. SZA.
You seem like a person with a pretty high level of anxiety, but you also seem fearless artistically.
I feel like ideas have more power than identity. Like the excitement overrides insecurity. That is the only way that I'm ever able to accomplish anything.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.